More than twice as many tweens and teens watch online videos every day than in 2015. When those kids watch, they're also spending about twice as much time doing so than they did 4 years ago. And YouTube seems to be the most popular destination, beating out Netflix, YouTube Kids, and other platforms. Those are among the findings of a new report from Common Sense Media looking at media use among teenagers and tweens, kids between 8 and 12 years old. Michael Robb joins me to talk more about this. He's Senior Director of Research at Common Sense Media. And Michael, what to you are the key takeaways from this survey?
I mean, I think the one thing that stands out to most people when they look at the report is that tweens and teens are still using a lot of screen media. This is a report that we did in 2015, as well as in 2019. And we found that tweens between the ages of 8 to 12 are averaging just under 5 hours of screen media a day. And teens are viewing for about 7.5 hours a day. And that's use of screens for entertainment or personal purposes, not for school or for homework. So it's quite a bit of time.
Yeah, that just seems like an awful lot of time, you know, almost 7.5 hours for teens looking at a screen, as you say, not doing schoolwork, not, you know, in school.
It is a lot. I think one thing to note, though, is that it's not all necessarily time out of a day, because you can be using more than one kind of media simultaneously. So, for example, you could cram 2 hours of media into 1 hour if you're watching TV while you're also using your smartphone.
All right. So you mentioned TV. And one of the things I found striking was that it seems as though these two groups of people, tweens and teens, they don't seem to be as huge fans of TV as generations past.
Yeah, no, that's right. So in 2015, there was a lot more viewing that was either like live TV or like DVR TV. And we've seen a real drop in that, as we've simultaneously seen a real increase in the number of kids who say that they are watching online videos like you would see on YouTube or on Twitch or other similar platforms every day. So since 2015, the percentage of kids who say that they watch online videos every single day has doubled. The amount of time they spend has doubled. And when you ask them, like, what's your favorite media activity, that's also gone way up.
Do we know what kinds of videos they're watching?
Not really. I mean, this is one of the issues, is that, you know, it's all well and good to have a good sense of, you know, how much time kids are spending with media, but the content of what they're watching and the context of how they're doing it are as important or even more important than just, you know, how much time they spend doing it. And so you're right, we don't know a lot about what they're engaging with. And that's going to be increasingly more difficult as more and more screen time gets devoted to personalized content, individualized content that kids can watch on their own personal screens, away from their parents, away from family, and very specifically tailored to their own tastes.
Well, I wonder if that's maybe one of the significant factors here in terms of why we should care that tweens and teens are watching things on phones or tablets as opposed to a TV. The sense that, you know, from a very practical level, it's harder to tell what they're watching if it's on a phone right up to their face as opposed to a TV in a room that anybody could walk into and see.
Yeah, it's a real double-edged sword. So on the one hand, I am a little concerned, because we used to think about the TV as, you know, like the family hearth, everyone would get together and, you know, maybe the family could sit together and watch an episode of The Office. You could talk about it afterwards or at the same time while you're viewing during a commercial break. And now everyone can still watch that same episode of The Office, but, you know, in your own room, at your own leisure, and you may or may not have like a shared media experience in the way, you know, you used to. So you're losing a little bit of that shared family experience. And in a time when people are already concerned about the lack of like face-to-face time or personal interaction, you know, that's something that, you know, it does worry me a little bit. On the other side, it's not all terrible videos. I mean, there is some good content out there on YouTube. And if you have a specific interest, you want to learn how to do, you know, really specific kinds of makeup or how to fix a car or do things that are really interest-driven, I mean, you have way more opportunities to do that than you used to, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
One of the other things that this report touched on that I thought was interesting was the amount of kids who now say that they use computers for homework. It seems like that jumped pretty dramatically from 2015. I'm curious about some of the implications of that, both positive and negative.
Yeah. So when you ask kids, they are much more likely to be using their computers for schoolwork than they have in the years past, and to be using them more frequently. So on the one hand, that means just more screen time But again, I'm much more actually interested in like the content of that time. So using it for educational purposes is, you know, probably a good thing. I think the question is, are they replacing things that might better be done without the computer? On the other hand, you know, having so many devices out there and being so well connected, kids have many more opportunities to connect and collaborate than they used to. You know, that collaboration, I think, is really, really valuable. But it's, you know, it certainly is a lot of time using devices during the day. And I don't think we really know what the long-term educational impacts are at this point.
What did you find as far as the digital divide and how that plays into how much kids can and do use computers, either in school or out of school?
So we found that teens in lower income homes are spending less time using computers for homework and more time doing homework on smartphones than their peers from higher income homes. And this is concerning because if you've ever tried to do, you know, serious significant work on a smartphone, you know, it's quite difficult.
It's tricky, yeah.
It's very, very tricky. So, you know, we call it like a homework gap, but it's just that much more difficult to accomplish what you need to get accomplished when you don't have access to the necessary technology and you're kind of forced into using things that really aren't well suited for the task. And, you know, those kinds of additional strains can, you know, play out in worse grades, you know, not persisting as much on different kinds of assignments. And, you know, what we don't want to see happen is just that gap in access lead to additional gaps in educational outcomes.
All right. That's Michael Robb, Senior Director of Research with Common Sense Media. Michael, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.